Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja with the American Muslim Community Foundation. Today on the Muslim Philanthropy Podcast, we are talking with Anwar Khan, who is the president and longtime community member of Islamic Relief USA. He's been nominated for a lifetime achievement, and we are so honored to have you as a guest on our podcast, Anwar. Welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. You know, you probably don't need much introduction. Everybody who's watching this knows your name, knows your face. You've been part and parcel of the community for so many years. And, you know, I want to start off by saying that you are definitely the reason why I'm doing the work that I'm doing. I see you as a mentor, an older brother, someone that I look up to every day. So just thank you so much for all of the work that you do.
We are very proud, mashallah, of the amazing work you and other Muslims, young Muslims, have been doing for years. I feel like I'm Generation X. We always complain that we're in between baby boomers and the millennials. So I was talking to one of my colleagues and I said, I think we're the placeholders in our generation for the amazing work coming from the Muslim community. So right. We are very, very proud, mashallah, of your success, Mohi, of your organization, and of all the other young brothers and sisters that I have been trying to mentor since the 90s. Now, I was only 22 when I started that, so I tried to tell people when they're saying, Anwar, how long have you been doing this? So I started with youth work when I was 18 years old, mm-hmm. as a volunteer, mentoring young people. So this is how it becomes sustainable.
So, you know, I first remember you visiting the Canton, Michigan community in probably like 95, maybe earlier than that even too. And, you know, our family was involved in that community. And some of the first events that we did were, you know, fundraisers for Palestine, fundraisers for drought in Africa. You know, I remember like a hospital, an ambulance that we wanted to fundraise for. So, you know, those were things that back then nobody was really doing in the US, right? To my knowledge. And, you know, you guys came into the scene. I know Islamic Relief UK and worldwide is, you know, such a large brand and institution, but you basically came over to start Islamic Relief USA. So tell us a little bit more about that journey.
MashaAllah, how many weeks do you have? So I'll try to give you the real short version. Islamic Relief started in England in 1984 by students at the University of Birmingham. I was one of the early volunteers a few years later in 1989. Then after I graduated, within a few months, I got on a plane and I came to America to start Islamic Relief USA. I'm one of the co-founders. So I was 22. My colleague Jahangir was 24, who had graduated from a degree in law and then was working for Islamic Relief. I was working for Islamic Relief just a month before I joined here in USA. And Jahangir's wife was 21 years old. So when people say we need young people in Islamic work, I think 21, 22, 24, mashallah, is not that old. Now, that organization mm-hmm. that we started from zero, mashallah, with Ahmed al-Bandari, who was, I believe, at that time in his 40s, and his wife, who was in her 40s. He's Egyptian-American. Sister Jill is a Jewish-American who is Muslim from Eastern Europe, originally her ancestry. So we have people from Jewish, from Arab, from Pakistani background. We have people who grew up in New York, in Birmingham, in Egypt. So it's quite a diverse bunch of people. Two women, three men. People in their 20s, people in their 40s. So we came with a dream, and our dream was to make the world a better place. So I knew from an early time, no money, no mission. We were talking at that time about Muslim unity, and this is before 9/11. This is before a lot of organizations got on blacklist, and this is when Muslims weren't seen so much as being terrorists when we came. Some people were still saying that, but it wasn't mainstream, constantly churning that out. So we wanted to enact the Islam that we felt. But to do that, you need money. So we built a network across the country. Now, one of the first places we went to, obviously, was in LA. After LA, it was in, we did a fundraiser in Pennsylvania and New Jersey in 95, I believe. Then in December of 95, we came to this community called Canton, Michigan. And that's because in the summer, I was at a MINA leadership training camp, and I met this young sister called Sister Mona Youssef.
Of
So
course, yeah.
they invited me, but the head of that organization, that youth group, was your older brother.
Yeah.
So your older brother invited me very, very reluctantly. I mean, he's very shy. He was, I think, only 17, 18. Is it possible? Could you come? Remember, people, before this century, we used to call people and write letters. We weren't texting people, we weren't emailing them. You had to do old school. Now, some people have wrote to me and they said, "Do you mean by pigeons?" No, I'm not that old. So he called me up. He was very shy. "Could you please come?" And, "Yeah, I'll come." And I think it was about Iraq, actually,
Sure.
in 95. Then after that, your community had a reputation for inviting me for places that nobody even thought about. You were raising money for Chechnya in Canton,
Right.
Michigan,
Right.
when some imam from LA said they refused to do dua for the people of Chechnya. And you guys were having none of that. You were raising money. And it wasn't one ambulance, by the way, though. It was four.
Wow.
Four ambulances at that time we got for $50,000. I then later visited those ambulances when I was in the Chechen refugee camps. You were raising money for Kosovo before the war began.
Right.
You actually, if you wanted to know when emergency was happening, just find out what the Canton fundraiser was. If you wanted to find out where the greatest need in the world was, where people were overlooking, find out what it was doing. And what did I love most about you guys? It was the youth group. The youth group, so, was our way into the community. Now, other organizations had their uncle friends, and we had, with all respect, Mohi, you, okay? And you at that time were how old? In 94, we don't need to mention. Your older brother was 18. So it became a rite of passage for every member of your family
Right.
to become the youth group leader and to do the Islamic Relief fundraising dinner, which, by the way, to this day, everyone, has been kept going since 1995. It's an annual event. I
Right.
remember one year I was so upset because I found out we weren't going to Canton in Ramadan. So I called up and said, "What's going on? This is the longest running yearly event that we've been doing in one location." And she said, "I'm sorry, brother Anwar, but you guys never contacted me." And we lost all the days. We
Oh.
had a certain number of days.
Yeah.
We're out, do it every year, but none of, I was so upset. And I said, "Really, it's enough." They said, "Brother Anwar, for your organization, we're out of there." This wasn't an Islamic Relief dinner, Bobby, you know that. This was a youth group of Canton dinner.
Right.
And Islamic Relief was the organization which helped you to fundraise and helped you to get the money. And you got to remember, some of the people that were giving out this aid, what happened to them? Murad died in a road, in a car accident.
Yeah.
You guys fundraise for Yemen, other places. One of our brothers was shot in the head last year. So this is what people, and he died in Yemen. So what people don't realize is that by raising money, you are helping people who are risking their lives to risk their lives with a full truck and a half a truck. You are saving so many lives around the world. You are encouraging us in America to be able to do our work. But we are encouraging you to be activists. A lot of young people are doing drugs, a lot of young people are drinking alcohol, a lot of young people are doing other things which we can say are un-Islamic. And I agree with that. My argument is, what is Islam? Let's not just talk about the haram, let's talk about the halal. To enjoin what is right and forbid what is wrong. Forbid what is wrong is easy to criticize others. Enjoin what is right can be very difficult sometimes. So Islamic Relief to me, you say, is a vehicle for young Muslims to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by feeding their neighbor and by helping others. Islamic Relief is a school to get people like you, Mohi, inspired to realize that instead of just complaining, marching, and being an activist online and disliking something, you really want to dislike something, you really want to like something, put some effort in.
Right.
Go out there, organize an event. And Mohi, how did you feel when, how much did we raise at the first fundraiser that you were in charge of? It was between 50 and 100. How much was it?
I would say around there. Yeah.
Yeah, because by the time you joined, we were going on average 50 to 100. Yeah. So what used to annoy some people, Mohi, was that it didn't matter who was fundraising the day before us. It never stopped us from raising what we raised.
Right.
This is about iman. Because I knew when I was working with Canton, Michigan, that I was dealing with people with iman. So what was my purpose? To help you guys to have a good PowerPoint, to help you guys to have a good fundraiser. Your job was to fill the hall, am I correct?
Yeah.
And the first time you guys did that, mashallah, it was mostly bacha party, which means kids, which I love, but I wanted your mom and dads to come. Then you got the neighbors of your mom and dad to come. Then you got other people from the community to come.
Right.
Then you got people from Dearborn to come all the way to Canton. And I said, that was the big donor one year. It was a Yemeni brother from Dearborn. I said, thank you so much for this donation, but you have all these fundraisers going on in Dearborn. Why don't you come to Canton? He said, this is where my kids come to learn Arabic. So I wanted to support my kids, and then I found the amazing work that you guys are doing. So you open doors for us, we open doors for you. You help us to feed hungry kids, we help you to tell you how amazing you can be. And we encouraged you by our example to go into fundraising, to go into nonprofit work. I remember in the 90s, Imam Siraj Wahaj, I love him, would come and tell everyone, that's great to be doctors, that there's so many Muslim doctors, but we need more Muslim journalists. You know what I was thinking at that time, Wahi? You're right, Imam, but we also need more fundraisers.
I
We
love
also
that.
need more nonprofit guys.
Yeah.
We
And
need people who aren't just doing one field. We need them in all different fields. Go ahead, Wahi.
to that point, we're focusing on Canton, but I think that easily you could tell us stories of dozens, if not hundreds, of cities across the country.
Hundreds,
Yeah.
youth groups,
Yeah.
thousands of individuals, tens of thousands of volunteers.
And
Some of the
probably
companies,
now hundreds of thousands of donors as well.
mashallah,
Yeah.
as of this year, we have mashallah 120,000 donors only for in the last 10 months, mashallah.
Wow. That's huge.
So we're heading for inshallah $110 million cash. We're at $96 million cash, mashallah. Now, we started from zero and we have raised up to today approximately $870 million over these 27 years. Because
Wow.
this is a lifetime achievement award, yeah?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
over these 27 years, only in America, we've raised $870 million, mashallah. Now, because we raised more money, we are now spending four times what we spent last year in America. We are inshallah going up even more than that. This is in the COVID response.
Right.
No money, no mission. We worked with FEMA to provide 35,000 gallons of water to the Navajo Nation in New Mexico.
Right.
You know how big that is. That's not a transactional, that's a transformational relationship. The original oppressed communities in America, the indigenous communities, the original one, are the indigenous communities, the Native Americans. The next most oppressed is the African Americans. We're working with them too. We now have a special fund that we're trying to work with African American organizations on top of our normal funding. 35% of the 150 partners that we have in America that we work through, Mohi, are African American led.
That's great.
35%, mashallah. Now, in America, As you know, according to Pew Research, about 25% are approximately African American, about 4% African. So they're about 30%, so we're slightly higher than that. Now we're doing a new fund to deal with the African American community on top of the overrepresentation we do. Now, why do we do that? Because they need a lot more than what we're doing. We know that. We know that. So we couldn't do that, Mohit, without the extra money that we got. And we're going to spend more money overseas than we've ever done in our history. So to me, this, once you set up an Islamic organization, there's three, four things you need to do. The first is you need to fund the mission. Second, you need to improve the mission. So no money, no mission. No mission, no mission. You're not doing any work. What are you fundraising for? The next, you have to be witness for the work you're doing. The way that we fight Islamophobia is by showing the love, compassion, mercy in Islam, the Islam that we know. Often, Mohit, we've done a bad job because we hide it, we keep it secret. We keep on telling people to humble, and being humble is great. But if you're humble about your good things and people only know the bad things, it's partially your fault that you're not telling people the good. So witness.
Sure.
The fourth thing is to build allies and partnerships. So in Islamic Relief, we are now doing all four.
That's great.
Now, I've been doing fundraising from the beginning, and somebody was joking with me. They said, I mean, like, you know, I remember going to some masjids, and you know, every year they would get me to go after the 27th night on the 28th, 29th, because there's no money left, yeah? So 27th night was the fundraising, and then the next day they said, I'm going, you guys can come, under community pressure. So
Sure.
I went. MashaAllah, we raised more money than they did. They got so upset that they took me down from 20 minutes to 10 minutes the next year. More money. They got so upset the next year, they took me down to 5 minutes. We raised even more money.
I love it.
So what we were doing is basically, you know, the congregation, they were teaching a lesson to the masjid management.
There you go.
That increased because of charity.
Mm.
The reason why, Mohi, they were giving money to us is they weren't happy that they weren't given any choices by the masjid management. And once the masjid management gave them a choice of a charity that they weren't involved in, another charity, they gave. And the less and less time they gave, it just meant that I had to become better and better at giving the message.
Sure.
And this
yeah.
is really a metaphor of the work that we did.
Right.
What we did in Canton, we copied that all across the
Of
country.
Course, yeah.
Okay. And what we did with this masjid was, the tougher things get... Do you know what we call a problem at Islamic Relief, USA?
What do you guys call it?
Another Tuesday. I can't remember of working at Islamic Relief and not getting death threats.
Wow.
In 1995, after Oklahoma City, people came up to the office and threatened to burn me alive. We got 40 death threats on phone on 9/11 alone. We have folders of death threats all the time. So people need to realize, when we're fundraising, we know people are trying to kill us. When we're delivering aid, we know people are trying to kill us. Our brothers and sisters have died overseas trying to deliver this aid. So you know those numbers I gave you, from 0 million up to 880, we're somewhere around there. Our brothers and sisters, about 10, 12, paid with their blood overseas to deliver that aid. So I am very proud, mashallah, mashallah, Mohi, of knowing people like you. You are our legacy and so many others. I'm very proud of the American Muslim community. I don't want to hear people telling me how bad they are when you ignore all of the amazing, wonderful things that they do. I'm very proud of working with an Islamic Relief team that's heading, inshallah, God willing, for $1 billion. And by the way, we are one of the largest providers of aid in America.
Right.
For American Muslim organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So we are providing in America, inshallah, this year, $9 million. Inshallah, Mohi, we will go up more than that. This is not through Mohi Islamic Relief programs. This is by investing money in local-led organizations.
That's great.
There's two approaches. There's one approach is you put this name on everything and you get the credit for everything. Or I work with people who wear clothes like you wear and I don't get the credit. Now, I think there's somewhere in the middle. I need to show people that when I give money to people like you, that I'm showing that the money is being spent in the right place. But people like you from another organization feel that we're investing in them.
Right.
We invest with money in grants, we invest in capacity building, and we invest with a network. So now, through the money that we've given, we created a network and we help our partner organizations. By the way, many of the organizations that the members are being nominated for awards in your organization, those are our partners too.
Right.
Financially supporting them, but people don't realize that Islamic Relief isn't just that we spend $9 million in America this year, it's how we spent it. We spent it through 150 organizations. 90% are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
10% are not.
Right.
We're working with our friends, brothers and sisters from different faith and no faith. 35% are African American led and a similar number are women led.
That's great.
So this is not maybe the Islamic organization that your dad had. But to me, this is the Islamic organization, not of the future. This is where we are today. So, and because we built that network, Mohi, of community organizers, and we trained people like you, even though you didn't know what we were up to, we were planting seeds that have become orchards.
Right.
So the money you're getting today is from the investment we made from 94, 95. And what we're doing today, Mohi, is investment for the next 27 years.
Right.
So as soon as we are going to be hitting, inshallah, $100 million this year, you know what my point is, Mohi? When is our target going to be 250?
Right.
Let's go out, have a nice meal one day. When are we going to do that? Until we have this vision. Until we understand, Mohi, that this money comes from Allah. That this is an act of ibadah. That this is from our iman that we give the money.
Mm-hmm.
Until we get that, brother, we're just messing around. So, people used to joke about Islamic Relief. Oh, you're just a kids' organization. You remember that?
Yeah.
In Canton, somebody
else. Right.
You're just a women's organization. You're not really serious. They ain't joking anymore. So, mashallah, mashallah, we are representing Islamic Relief as Muslims at the UN.
That's
at
huge.
The World Bank,
yeah.
With senators, with Congress people. Okay? This is all recent that we've done. Even during COVID, we're doing some of this stuff. But
right.
Definitely for COVID, we were doing that. We've spoken to the President of America to explain the concerns that we've had. That's the highest level of government in this country. To the president, to the White House, to the Surgeon General, DHS, HHS, FEMA, USAID, and every acronym in the alphabet, and the US government. And we've been working with local cities, local mayors, with Congress people. We are an extremely active social organization, faith-based organization, humanitarian organization. And Mohi, none of this could have been done, first without Allah, second without the support of the community.
Yeah, I think, you know, you eloquently summarized what Islamic Relief USA has done, how you have helped them get there, and, you know, it's such a enormous team, and it's really great to see the professionalization of the staff. And to see the human resources behind the operations. And really, you know, I would say it's the largest operations that any Muslim-led charity or nonprofit has in the United States.
I would say, I would argue that 150 events we did last year, that we fundraised at 500 masjids physically.
Wow.
I would, with last year, over 80,000 active donors last year, I would actually argue it's, in terms of the metrics, it has more interactions than many other Islamic organizations. And so it's not just charities, but even other organizations. But often we're not seen as that. We're just put in a category as overseas guys without people realizing we work here. We help, by the way, hundreds of thousands of people in America. We've helped this year, mashallah. And we've helped millions around the world here in America. So my one pet is people keep on saying, why don't you work in America? Bro, we do. Just come on the website and read it. We've been talking about it for years. And I really wanted to stress that the thing I really love, Mohi, is that we worked with sisters and youth when other people didn't take them seriously. That we're doing interfaith work without calling it interfaith work. We're building bridges between different communities when others are building walls. That we are doing intra-faith work. How can
Very
I work?
important.
How can I work with my Jewish, Christian, Hindu, Sikh brothers and sisters and not work between Sunnis and Shias? I don't understand. So interfaith, intra-faith. We just had a meeting recently with the head of the National Council of Churches. Traditionally, we spoke to Christian fundraising organizations. Now we're speaking to churches, just so they're aware about the work that we're doing. So to me, dawah means invitation. So we are in Islamic League inviting people to see the beautiful mercy and compassion and love in Islam in action, faith in action. When the baby died in New in Sandy Hook, many of the emotional counselors, chaplains, were supplied by Islamic Relief. When Parkland happened, we were giving emotional counseling and cash cards after the gun shooting in Parkland. When the Pulse nightclub shooting happened, we gave emotional counseling over there, and we worked with the Red Cross because apart from the people who were attacked and who were suffering in great pain from the shooting, there were people in the Muslim community that were worried about a backlash. So we worked with the Red Cross on that. The American Red Cross asked us to go to Parkland, and we were housed under the FBI Victim Support Unit. People are unaware that we do emotional counseling to people, that we help people who are the victims of mass shootings. This is just a little bit. That's why I wasn't exaggerating how many weeks do you have. So we couldn't do that unless we fundraise for that. So your money's going into having an African American Muslim sister who's a chaplain, and she's doing counseling. She was doing counseling in Sandy Hook after the babies were there. Please remember that. Please remember that often the first time when we do disaster relief work here in America, the first time they ever see Muslims is when we show up. We go into really white neighborhoods, okay? And I remember one old lady, she said to us, our team, "This is the first time I've seen Muslims. You're not what I see on cable TV. I like what I see. I want you guys to come here more."
How genuine.
And how much do you put on a price of that? What is that worth, Mohi? Priceless. No, it's not priceless, brother. It's the amount that it costs. I can put a price. I don't want to hear any MasterCard advertisement. I don't want to have prices. But I can put a price on how to do it. So if you like moments like that, Kodak moments, some of you are old enough to remember what a Kodak moment is. Like Kodak moments, if you like MasterCard ads, show me the money. And I'm sorry, Mohi, I'm going to do a quick plug. Go to
Of course.
iousa.org. And you give what your heart wants to give. You give what your soul wants. And once you do it with your heart and your soul, go up to your brain, and your brain will try to tell you not to do it. Sometimes that shit's unimportant. But you get your heart and your soul to work with your brain. When you have the top half of the body, then you can go below the belt to your wallet. But if there ain't room up here, there's no room down there.
Makes
And
sense.
that's what we do with our fundraising dinners. Now we try to do it on Zoom meetings. Oh,
There you
by the
go.
way, you're gonna love this. You know, because of Zoom, we weren't able to do our events. What do you think happened to our donations this year when we went from 500 masjid visits to in Ramadan to zero, nearly zero? What do you think happened to our donations?
I would hope you still were able to connect with them and they still
MashaAllah,
gave.
they went up, man.
Yeah.
They went
Yeah.
up. So what happened is I noticed that when things get more difficult for us, like I told you about that masjid that shut out, the more difficult it got for us, the more money we got. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us all the time. And I'm saying to all my brothers and sisters, I don't care which organization you're from, the more Allah tests you, the more sincere you become, inshallah, the more the reward will be. Inshallah, in this life, if not in the next life. Our work is putting our theology into action. That's what we do. Fundraisers are just implementing Surah Al-Ma'un. Have you seen those that reject of the faith? It's those that reject of the orphan and urge of not the feeding of the needy. Your job, not as a fundraiser, but as a Muslim, it's in your job description to urge the feeding of the needy. Not feed them, urge. One way of urging is fundraising. It's too easy to just give money. You have to get everybody around you giving money. It's too easy to give money. Just, I feel bad, so I'm going to give some money because the blood was coming on the child's arms and the tears. That to me is the lowest form of giving. I feel bad about it. A higher. So that's just sympathy. Pity, pity. From pity, you get to sympathy. From sympathy, you get to empathy. I feel your pain. Compassion is empathy in action. When you
Right.
write that check, that's going to compassion through Islamic belief. Now, you can give it out of pity, sympathy, empathy, or compassion. I want you to give it out of compassion. And what we've done in Islamic belief, we're here, and you've seen this, brother, taking people from the pity, move them to the sympathy, to the empathy, to the compassion. So you give out of love, you give out of ibadah. Zakah is not your donation, brother or sister. It's your obligation. It's a pillar to the faith. Sadaqah is one of the eight gates to heaven. Four gates have their own virtues, and four are for all. One of those gates is sadaqah. So it may be a gate for you to get to paradise. I'm not promising you that you're going to paradise. I don't know if I'm going. Inshallah, inshallah. But I can't give any guarantees. But I am telling you that Allah's telling you it's a gate to heaven. I am telling sadaqah. I'm telling you zakah is a pillar of our faith. How do you get into a building through a gate? What kind of building stays up with pillars? Am I right?
Right.
Now that
It's the
foundation
foundation, yeah.
is your iman. Is your iman. I remember when there were some uncles in Detroit that were really annoyed with me because I was working with Canton, Michigan from another community. We won't mention the name of that community. And I was told to, because they were like, how dare you do a fundraising dinner at Canton the day before us? We wanted, I said, because the Canton Youth Group is not going to affect your beautiful project, which is a beautiful multi-million dollar project. We're only trying to raise a small amount of money. And Dr. Abdullah Idris Ali made me take him to that meeting. He said, Anwar, never back away from a fight like this. This is about Iman. You need to go and you need to work with these uncles and let them know why you're working with the youth and why this is about Ibadah, that the money comes from Allah, not from them. By the time I was done with them, mashallah, they became some of our very big donors, boy, and
Right.
they love us now.
Yeah.
So this to me is, I learned from Imam Siraj Al-Haj. I learned from Dr. Ahmad Saqib. I learned from Dr. Abdullah Idris. So if you want to know, I took their ideas, then I mixed it up with the ideas from Britain, then I mixed it up with the ideas from Canton. And the way we fundraise in Canton was different than the way we fundraise in Franklin.
Sure.
Franklin was in Arabic, you were in English. Okay? Very simple thing. The way that I worked with the youth group there was mostly sisters. With you, it was a mixture. So I had to learn how to adapt in every community, even in the same city.
Right.
So, mashallah, Islamic Relief USA is a work in progress. We did training earlier this year, and I think we got about 45 people who are now CFRM certified from
Wonderful.
Indiana University. But they'd already raised nearly $1 billion before they got to me.
Right.
Okay, so I would say to people is you don't need a certificate to raise large amounts of money, but hopefully with a certificate, you will raise even more, inshallah.
Of course. Well, I think that's a great place to conclude our discussion. Anwar, thank you so much for your generosity, your time, your dedication to the community. We're really excited for you and congratulations on the nomination.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Thanks. Nice.